During the worship, I had this, I could see this like a snowball. And it's very interesting because I don't know if you've ever rolled a snowball down a hill. No? I've fallen down the hill on my skis. But, you know, sort of, but this snowball was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I felt that had something to do with what the Father's doing in the lives of us here today, but also in the future. And today my topic is, I've been asked to speak on generosity. And it kind of symbolizes that in lots of ways. You start off giving perhaps of your time, energy, whatever, a little bit, and it grows and grows and grows and impacts a lot of people and can cause a huge avalanche. Here's a little story. One evening, a Scotsman was riding in his car when he saw two men walking along the road, eating grass. This kind of disturbed them, so he yelled to the driver. Actually, he wasn't driving the car, it was a limousine. And he told the driver to stop, I need to get out to investigate. And he asked one man, why are you eating grass? Well, we don't have any money for food, the poor man replied. So we have to eat grass. Well, then why don't you come with me in my limousine to my house and I will feed you, the Scotsman said. Don't know why it was a Scotsman, but never mind. Could have been a New Zealander. But, sir, I also have a wife and two children with me, and they are over here under the tree. Oh, that's okay. Bring them along too, the Scotsman said, turning to the poor man again. But he said also, he noticed that there was a second man standing there. In a pitiful voice, he said, but, sir, I also have a wife and seven children with me. Can they come also? Very well, he said, bring them along. So they all piled into the limousine, one of those extended jobs. I know some of you are calculating how many people, okay, which, analytical folks, good on you. It was no easy task, but they got in, right? Once underway, one of the poor fellows turned to the Scotsman and said, sir, you are truly very, very kind and gracious. Thank you for taking us with you to your house. The Scotsman replied, no problem, I'm glad to do it. You really love my place. The grass is almost a foot high. Oh, come on, guys. I thought, I liked that one. That's right. Okay, yeah. There was a church service. I like the old story about the guy who came to church with his family. As they were driving home afterwards, he was complaining about everything. He's complaining about the music. The music was too loud. The sermon was too long. The announcements were unclear. The building was hot. They didn't have the fans going. The people were unfriendly. He went on and on complaining about virtually everything. Finally, his very observant son said, Dad, you've got to admit it. It wasn't too bad for a dollar. Maybe I better stop these. During the week, I had this picture of a child, and I had a little bath here. It's kind of gone. Okay. Is the child in the bath? No, baby's gone. No, don't worry about it. That's all right. But I had this picture. It was a beautiful picture of a child in a bath. And it's interesting about that song that we sang, that Anna's written about the Father's hand upon us. Because what I saw this beautiful, it was probably a yellow bath, a blue bath, doesn't really matter. And this little baby sitting there just kicking its feet, very happy, lovely. But then I noticed that there was this hand upon the back of this child just steadying it and supporting this child. And there was actually a yellow duck in the thing too. But I just felt there was a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Father's love. He's always there. He's always steadying us, and it was kind of steadying us gently, looking after us as we enjoy his delights. He holds nothing back from us. No good thing would I withhold from them that walk uprightly. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As we head towards Easter, a time when we remember our lovely Lord Jesus' death and resurrection, I've been reflecting on how generous the Father, my Heavenly Father, was in giving us His only Son, that we might have direct access to Him by having our sins forgiven. To be honest, the more I reflected on this amazing act of generosity and kindness on behalf of Father God and on Jesus' willingness to go through the ordeal of sacrifice, I just failed to comprehend the whole thing. And the thing about Jesus is that all He knew when He said to His Father, "Yes, I'm willing to go and do this thing," all He knew was this. He knew the presence, the dynamic, I can't express it, presence of God. He lived with the Father in heaven. He knew what it was like to be with Him. He knew what total shalom was all about, something that we just read about and endeavor to walk in. He knew everything. He was in the glorious place of heaven and, if you like, in eternity. And the thing that that caused Him, I think, the greatest fear was not so much the death dying on the cross, not so much this, but being separated from His Father. He never knew what it was like to be separated from His Father. And I don't know if you guys know that what it's like when you go away from your family. Sometimes it's good to get away, but when you're a little child, when you're a little child and you go away for the first time, you know, it can be very scary and insecure. But Jesus was still willing, knowing what was ahead of Him, to go through this. And that's only part of it. The thing is that when He went down to get the keys to the kingdom, what happened? That was when there was totally, absolutely nothing. The Father could not communicate with Him. No emails, nothing. Zero. That's the thing that I think was the biggest challenge to Him. So our Father and His Son has set the bar of generosity beyond anything we could possibly match. It's kind of simple, isn't it? But it's enormous. And He doesn't expect us to match it, but I think He does expect us as followers of Jesus, as kingdom people, I think He expects us to have a lifestyle of generosity and giving. He modeled it perfectly. Children usually adopt the primary practices modeled by their parents. They're constantly watching and forming their own views and practices. It's the same with us. As followers or as disciples of Jesus, our Father is always, He's always been generous. So I'm thinking, I may have this wrong, but I'm thinking that's what He wants us to do, and that's the lifestyle He wants us to live. To live a life of love is to live a life of generosity and kindness, plus a few other things. We love because He first loved us. And we give because we have been given to. That's a statement in itself, isn't it? We give because we have been given to. I've said this a number of times, that Chrissy and I both had extremely generous parents. And I've said to you guys that my mum and dad didn't become Christians until they were in their early 40s. So I was brought up in a party home every Saturday night. But my parents loved us. And they were always generous. I remember when Dad first got his first car. And it was a very old Vauxhall car. But I remember in those days, no seat belts. Actually, I learned to drive in that car. They had those, you guys won't even know, but they had little indicators that would go, bing, and you ran. Anyway, it was a fast car, actually. It's a rocket. Anyway, so Dad and Mum would pile all the kids in the neighbourhood into that car, and off we'd go to the beach. They were incredibly generous. The neighbours didn't have cars at that stage. And they modelled that perfectly for us. And we've tried our best, Chrissy and I, to basically emulate them. You know, I can remember so many things. Chrissy's dad bought me about probably my first suit. Actually, when I came to Wellington, I needed to have a business suit. So he actually, I went and had it tailor-made. It was just a beautiful new suit. And whenever the children, he was a GP, whenever the children were sick, he'd be round there like a shot looking after them. He was all, they were kind of always there, but they were generous. They had weekends away and we could, with two mortgages, two kids and everything else, and an old car, we couldn't afford to have weekends away. So we'd go for a weekend away with them or a couple of weeks with them, things like that. So generous. Chrissy's brother, who has been so good to us when we've been in team. They've got a house in Calcutta, and when we go over there with our ministry teams, he's on two or three occasions, he's actually provided us a vehicle totally free of charge and a driver. He said, let this be a blessing to the Vineyard Church. Well, and at this stage, he's not a follower of Jesus. Wow, he's setting the benchmark high too, isn't he? In fact, he's also treating Chrissy and I on a special sabbatical in a week or so's time. And I hope you don't mind me saying that, but Chrissy. But yes, we're going to have a sabbatical. We'll tell you about that next week, just for a few weeks. But he's actually covering it all for us so that we can go away. And that's how generous he is. On one occasion, my mother came into one Saturday night, we used to meet on, sorry, Sunday night, I remember this, one of the guys from Royal Rumble prophesied over me as I was standing over here, and he said, you're going to be provided with money. I don't know where it's going to come from, but he said, the Lord's going to really bless you, incredibly bless you. And I thought, I'd put it in the back. I thought, oh, yeah, maybe. And a short time later, my mother came into quite a sum of money, and she did bless us hugely, the four boys in the family. Car repairs, able to get things done. We had about a dollar a week, I think, after paying our expenses and tithing and so on. So there wasn't a lot of money in those days, but God was really good to us. And we've seen so much goodness in this church over the years. The seats that you're sitting on, I've said this many times, were actually paid for by students. I think about $5 each. Often these students would be out there earning a little bit of money. They would put that in the kitty, and we were able to buy a lot of the furniture that you've got here. A lot of things that are happening in this church, and I want to say publicly today to thank you guys for your, I guess it's the end of the year, isn't it? So you get tax receipts, but thank you so much for your generous giving, your time, your resources, your kindness. Without your generosity, there would be no way that we'd be even here, be meeting here on a Sunday. It wouldn't have happened. So thank you so much. The way that CV Kids is operating with many of you helping with the kids. Coffee Tots, India, we've talked about that this morning. Cambodia, supporting a young man who's doing medical work over there. Pastoral care, we've been able to give people food vouchers during the week. There's lots of pastoral activities going on that you don't know about. There's all sorts of things that our people are involved in here. I want to thank you for that, because that comes out of your generosity and giving. So thank you so much for that. God is a good God, but he happens to use us as vehicles for that. Yeah. Generosity is a practice that the Vineyard churches around the world have adopted. If you're part of a vineyard, you see that they're generous in every way. And as a value, it's also something that CV has also adopted. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life." So here we see a beautiful story that the Father gave his Son. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I'm thinking, man, I wouldn't give my, sorry guys, but there's no way I'd give my boys away and my daughter away to the rat bag that I know I used to be, or anybody for that matter. If you can think the worst possible sin that's happening out there right now, it's on the front page of the paper pretty much every day and on the news. Think of the worst possible sin. Jesus died for that there could be forgiveness. So the Father gave his Son, but the Son gave his life. Jesus also asked the Father to give to us his precious Holy Spirit. It's part of the Trinity. To help us to live the life of children, his children, children of God. But here's another thing I hadn't really been thinking about too much, but just recently it occurred to me that the Holy Spirit was, he's part of the Trinity, right? So these guys got to hang out and party. They were always doing stuff together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? All part of the Godhead. But the Holy Spirit would have had an opportunity to say, no, I'm not going. They can do it on their own. These guys can grit their teeth. And if some Christians are like this, they don't need the Holy Spirit. They grit their teeth. They can do it on their own. They can do this deal on their own. But he said, no, I'm happy to go. I'm happy for you to ask the Father. And I'll go. I'm going to help these guys. I'll be their advocate on this journey. I'll help them to live a life of love and generosity. Yeah, I'm going to help them. So he was willing to do that too. The question though today is, what do we do with what has been given to us? We have a choice. Now, Corrie Ten Boom said this, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. It is. 500 years ago, Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, once said, there were three conversions necessary for every human being. The conversion of the mind, the conversion of the heart, and the conversion of the wallet. As I was writing up my journal on occasion last year, I felt this is what the Lord was saying to us as a church. It's really simple. I desire you to give me your first fruits of all you have. It's always been this. It's an expression of your love for me and your trust in me. Then I said to the Lord, is this just my thoughts or are you actually saying this? I often ask questions like that. Then he said to me, it's an expression of your delight, your enjoyment in me. Then he said, test me in it. Test me on this. Joy is not holding things back, but giving it away, especially to those who can't give it back. People have said to me quite often, they say, well, how can I be a member of this church? Because we don't have a written membership. Some do. Baptist church that I used to be part of used to have it. Still has it. I think that I'm probably called an inactive member right now, but I'm probably still on the list. I have to go and tell my friend Phil from the Baptist church about that. I'm still on the list, Phil. Anyway, so members, how do you become a member of the church? Well, basically this. Be connected. Join a home group. This is how to belong. Attending the services, joining the hospitality team, worship team, help in the church. This is how you connect with people. And also giving to the church. And I was thinking about that. The giving is an interesting thing because the body, this is the body. When you don't give, you're offending yourself because you're part of the body. Am I understanding that right? If you read that, I read that in Ephesians. It's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, apart from the fact that the Father says to give, and in Malachi it talks about giving a tenth of your, you know. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's not bad. If I'm on $100,000 a year, right? I used to be on that, more than that, actually. But if I'm on over $100,000 a year, what he's saying, really, is you can have $90,000, do what you like with. But actually, I'd like you to give me 10 grand. And actually, we actually get a third of that back anyway. I was thinking about that during the week as well. Actually, it's interesting because if in the church we gave that third back to him that we get at the end of the year, right, we'd be very buoyant right now. Because in a few weeks' time, we'll present our budget to you. We've just been putting our budget together. And it looks like at this stage we've got an $18,000 deficit. Now, there's only a certain amount of time that we can sustain that. I was thinking, well, you know, if we all gave our third back, we would probably have a lot more than that. Hey, it's good to talk about money, eh? But yes. Generosity is more than that. So he says to test me on it, especially when it's giving to those that can't afford to give it back. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. It's cool, isn't it? It's a beautiful verse. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, Paul says this, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of what? Love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Man, I've just gone through that verse. I could have spent this whole morning crying and just spending my whole time on that verse. Because I love him so much, guys. I'm falling more and more and more and more passionately in love with him. It's about his love. It's not about this giving. It's about loving him. You only give to the things that you really believe in and passionate about. And James talked about this last week beautifully. He talked about often with our worship, it's a sacrifice of giving. It can become a spiritual discipline. And for me, I need disciplines in my life. Brother Lawrence was talking, he told us last week about being a person of his presence, practicing his presence. I'm losing it. Anyway, you're getting the. I just think. Are we getting the picture here? As children, as his children, we're called to live a life of love. And love involves giving generously, just like he did for us. I think the generosity is kind of almost above the giving benchmark which he set. I know it's an individual thing, but you know, it's an honor to love God. Hey? It's an honor to love, for God loved us first. We only give away what we have received. God really did set the standard for giving love that demands nothing in return. He set the standard for sacrificial love and giving. For God did so love the world that he gave. Brother, his only son. It is a privilege to give time, money, and attention. Attention? Friendship, and so on. It's a privilege. Sacrificial giving is about sacrificial living. While we can give without loving, we can't love without giving. By nature, love does not require anything in return, or it is not love. The real test of love, though, I've mentioned this earlier on, is when we're able to love the unlovely who are unable to give back. That's to quote Bill Johnson. So as we come into Easter this year, let's enter the season with eyes open to the possibilities of adopting kingdom practices of love and generosity as modeled by the one who loved us first and generously gave his best that we might have the best. He gave his best that we might have his best. If you're holding back, you're not going to receive the blessing. It's like standing on the banks of the river and you know you're saved, you know you're born again. Great. You're going to get into the kingdom. Good stuff. But over there you can see the promises of God laid out for you. And I'm talking, you know what I'm, you guys have got promises sitting, I can see them over you like tape words. Promises over you. You can gaze at that. We can take a step over and walk through the stuff, the waters, and enjoy the promises that he's got for you now. God has blessed many, many people, thousands of people through this community, in this church and around the world. Hugely. People have got jobs, people have got contracts, people have been healed, people have been delivered. Lots and lots and lots of people. And we're on this road of walking into the promises now. So today our Capital Vineyard students from the ministry school are going to serve communion in a few minutes. But can I suggest we do something little this morning? Can I suggest that each one of us spends a moment as we give thanks to him, as we give thanks to the emblems, to examine our hearts and ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do with regards to what you've given to me? my time, my assets, including money, and offer these things back to him, because they're his anyway. Remember, he demands nothing from us, but what we do give him is an expression of our love and our hearts, and it really is our worship. I love our church to be known as a people of his presence. But I love it to be known also, and I hope it is, of a people who love him and who are generous in all we do. Can I just pray? Father, you are a good father. You are a good, good father. You're an extravagant father. Your love is beyond anything that we can possibly comprehend. And this morning, Lord, we've just touched the surface of your amazing generosity. But I think it is the foundation for everything, Lord. And Lord, as I thank you this morning, I just feel the words are just so, they come out of my mouth, Lord, but Father, they just don't seem to cut it. But I want to thank you again for giving us your most precious, precious possession, your son, a pearl of infinite value. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for being willing to go through what you went through so that we might have our sin forgiven, but also to have communion on a regular basis with our Father. And Holy Spirit, thank you too for being our advocate, for being the one that empower and enable us to live this life that we've been called to live. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up. Thank you.